Well, a good Sunday morning to everyone. Welcome to Enriching People's Lives. Hi, this is Steve Sappington, and we're happy to have you with us here today. Hope everyone is having a blessed day. We hope you're getting ready to go to church, or maybe you've already been this weekend. So, again, spend some time with the Lord. It's easy for us this time of year, really any time of year nowadays, to get so busy that we don't make time for God. And you know, I heard Martin Luther, I heard this quote attributed to him. I don't know if he said it or not. But one time he said that he had so much to do that if he didn't spend the first 3 or 4 hours praying that day, that he wouldn't get everything done. And, you know, I think I know that I'm guilty of this, is I tend to do the other thing, is the opposite of that, and is work more and pray less. And, you know, I know that we all need to pray more, and God will show us a lot of things that they're either shortcuts, or he blesses it, and so we get more done with less time. Or in my case, a lot of times it's he shows me what I don't need to be doing so that I can really focus on what's important. And so I hope all of you are not only going to spend some time worshiping with fellow believers, but also spending some time this weekend resting and spending some time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. You know, we need to do that every day. I just finished lifting weights about an hour ago. That I'm actually recording this on Thursday. And it had been a couple of weeks since I'd done some of these exercises, and I couldn't do as many repetitions. You know, we if we don't do something regularly, well, then we either lose the muscles, or we lose the expertise, the skills, whether it's playing a musical instrument, or memorizing something, or in my case this time it was lifting weights. And the same thing applies to exercising our spiritual muscles, praying and spending time with God. If we don't do it regularly, then we miss out a lot, and we grow weak. So I would encourage you to spend time with the Lord. You know, he's our strength. We can depend on him, and we really can't do it without him. So anyway, today then is Sunday. It's the second Sunday in December. So we're looking at the 13th of December. Just a couple more weeks, actually less than a couple of weeks, until Christmas. And so I hope everyone's got all your shopping done, got all the other things done, probably getting ready to, the homemakers are making some of their favorite recipes. And but again, let's don't forget why we celebrate this season. It's because of, even though Jesus probably was not born on December 25th, we celebrate that time as to remember every year, you know, God coming down to earth, being born in a very humble set of circumstances, living a perfect life, and then dying for us. And so I urge all of you to reflect on that some. And I know it's hard to do because we can get so busy. In my business, for example, we're, you know, trying to make sure we've done all the appropriate planning, and you know, maybe we're needing to do some strategies, maybe give some, make some gifts, or do some other things to avoid some taxes at the end of the year. So you can really get busy, and so please don't forsake your first love. Today I wanted to just kind of, this is going to be kind of maybe rambling, but I wanted to just share some thoughts and some thanks to people who have blessed me over the years. And I'll probably mention some people that you may know, and some people that I've done business with, and have patronized their place of business. And so if you are in need of someone who has their skills or their gifts or their profession, well, then maybe it'll bless you also. But then it will probably also cause you to think of some people who have been very instrumental in your life and your upbringing, and drawing you to the Lord. So First of all, of course, I want to thank God for all He's done for me. He's been so good. I was just thinking today of all the skills that He allowed me to have. Music skills, you know, music came easy to me. Singing, and I started piano lessons when I was 6 years old. So that's, again, I'm thankful to my parents for paying for those lessons, because that taught me a lot about, it was a great foundation for the other musical things that I've done, whether it's playing guitar or operating a music studio for many years, and my appreciation for music now. All began back as a young child, and the gifts that my parents and that God gave me. And, you know, the ability to read, and to, you know, to have health, and physical strength, fine motor skills, just so many things that God has blessed me with. And, you know, we take so many things for granted. So I hope that all of you will, you know, be thankful. I think one of the things that helps my family be thankful is I can remember spring break, my freshman year in college. I came home, and my grandmother was in the hospital, my mother's mother, and she actually died on my mother's birthday, March 30th. And my mother had gone out to see her that morning, and she walked into the hospital room, and my grandmother started singing happy birthday to my mother, and my mother started crying, and, you know, she started to say it, tell my grandmother that she loved her, and just didn't. And later that day, my grandmother died, and that, you know, that was something that, you know, was a really saddened my mother, that she had not, you know, told her that one last time that she loved her. And so since then, our family has always made a point of being very expressive and telling people that we love them. So, you know, I do that, try to be very thankful and let people know when I appreciate something. I think it's a good habit to be in. I think it also that we need to, it's something we need to do spiritually, you know, thanking God. If you look at so many of the prayers that the patriarchs and the many of the famous people in the Bible, their prayers, you know, many times, you know, 70-80% of the prayer is just, you know, thanking and praising God and letting Him know that we're aware of His all of His goodness and His mercy and His strength and His power. And then just right at the end of the prayers, you know, maybe the request was made. So, you know, I think that having a thankful heart is very necessary and very enriching, and very it helps us in our Christian walk. You know, if we're not grateful, then it cuts off so many other things that we'll never even realize, because we didn't start out with a heart of gratitude. I mentioned my grandmother. She and my grandfather, I was the first grandchild, and my names for them were Pawpaw and Grandmama. And they never had a lot of money. My grandfather was actually born in 1896. For you history buffs and geography buffs, he was actually born in Mangum, Indian Territory. Oklahoma didn't become a state until 1907, when he was almost 11 years old, and so he missed by just about 3 months being born in Mangum, Texas. The little town where I'm from in Oklahoma was actually a part of Texas. The surveyors had made a mistake, and they had thought one river was actually the Red River, and when it wasn't. And so for a number of years, my little hometown was part of Texas. It's right there in the southwestern corner of the state. And so they realized the mistake later, and so that's when it was designated Indian Territory. And then, like I say, in 1907, Oklahoma became a state. So my grandfather he had a number of brothers and sisters. He was actually only 12 years old when his mother died. His father had left the family earlier, and so My grandfather was responsible for several other younger brothers and sisters, so he had a hard, physically hard life. He had known really hard physical labor all of his life, and so they were actually in their 50s before they ever even owned land. Until then, they rented farmland, and I'll probably tell some more stories about him. He was quite a man. But they were very. I can remember they even in their 50s. They didn't have enough money to buy my sister and me Christmas presents, and so they pulled cotton when they were just about my age, the age I am now. And it amazes me that they had to do those types of things and did them gladly because they didn't have a lot of money. So. Very thankful to them and the sacrifices that they made, and of course to my parents. My parents, as I said, they paid for music lessons. My sister and I played in the band for a while in the upper elementary school and junior high, and then of course I got involved in sports in school. Of course, I started playing Little League when I was about 6 years old. So, and my parents always went to all the ball games and everything, and so very grateful for all that. And I'm thankful to a number of my teachers. When I was in first grade, my teacher's name was Miss Moore, Kathleen Moore, and she was so good. She was very kind, and she realized that I had been not around many other children growing up on a farm, and was a little bit shy and. But she realized that I, could learn, and so she took a little extra time with me to make me feel comfortable and was really encouraging to me. And so it really, I think, helped foster a lifelong love of learning. I know that my wife, for example, didn't have a good experience when she was in first grade. She was compared to her brother, and I just, it saddens me, the impact that teachers can have on children's lives, if they have a negative impact. It can really affect a child for a long time, a lot of years. So I'm thankful for Miss Moore, and I had a number of other really good teachers. One of the other ones that really stands out was my 7th and 8th grade English teacher. Her name was Jeanette Snow. She was a good friend of the family also. But my goodness, she used to get us, she would have us diagram those sentences, and we'd have to use all the different colored pencils and draw on the board. But again, many of those lessons I still remember today. I can remember when she taught us what a preposition was. She said, she wrote up on the board, she said, the baby crawled and then drew a blank and then wrote the car. So any word that fit in that sentence was a preposition. The baby crawled to the car, the baby crawled from the car, the baby crawled under the car. It's funny how we remember things like that. That's been over 40 years ago. So Jeanette Snow was, and because of the great training, of course she was tough, all the kids, we kind of complained about it then, but as I look back, because of what I learned from her, so many things were easy, that's probably one of the things that helped foster my love of writing, since I've written a number of things since then, but it made writing fairly easy for me when I was in college, when I know some other students, they really had to work and had trouble expressing themselves. So thankful for those teachers. And then I look at, the Sunday school teachers that I had. My first memory of a Sunday school teacher was I went to a little country church, Brinkman Baptist, Brinkman, Oklahoma. My teacher's name was Viola Clark, but everybody called her Bobo. I guess someone had... couldn't say Viola when they were little, and so it kind of turned into Bobo, so everybody called her Bobo. And she was the one that first started telling Bible stories to me, and many times my sister and I, maybe one other children, were the only children that were in the church, because maybe only 30-40 people would be in attendance on Sunday morning. And so I can remember her telling me about Zacchaeus and, you know, the different Bible stories. And, you know, again, that was a love of stories. And I've always loved hearing stories about the Bible and historical events and geography. So, again, that's one of the things that, you know, helped instill that love for learning and of storytelling and so forth. As I was a young in junior high, grade school, junior high, had a couple of great teachers. One of them's name was Adrian Richardson. He ran the co-op back in our town, and a real quiet, solid, godly man. And one of the other teachers, his name was Mr. Woodrow Wilson. That was when we were, I think we called it intermediates back in those days. I don't know what they call that age group now, but Mr. Wilson would, anytime the weather was good, any Sunday, he would, he lived right on the edge of town, and there were some kind of breaks and rough kind of scrub brush type of country, and so he would take us walking and hiking, and oh my, we loved that. We would we would walk all around, and of course, kids would cut up, you know, he would burn some of that energy off. And so, you know, that just that love of the outdoors, you know, was something that he taught us. Probably the most influential pastor that I had growing up was a man named James W. Evans. He went by Bob, so everybody called him Brother Bob. He's still alive. In fact, he preached my mother's funeral when she passed away back in May, and he pastored our church when I was, seventh, eighth grade on up to about 11th grade. So he was there 4 or 5 years. Great, great teacher. And in fact, he actually, after serving as a pastor in several other churches, Brother Bob went on to be a professor at Oklahoma Baptist, which is my alma mater. He was there after I was there, but retired from there. I think they live up in the Allen area now. His son Dave Evans, some of you may remember him. Dave went to Baylor and was a weatherman on one of the TV stations, and Dave now works for the Dallas Mavericks. So some of you may know the Evans family. One of the things I'm really grateful for is my experiences at Falls Creek. For those of you here in Texas, some of you may not know that, but it's one of the largest Christian camps, I guess, anywhere. And it's in southern Oklahoma, near Davis, Oklahoma. Always very hot there when we went in, you know, July, August. But lots of great experiences. In fact, I worked there 2 summers when I was in high school. That's really probably what the reason I went to Oklahoma Baptist University, because I met so many people from OBU who were 2 or 3 years older than I was, who were attending OBU, and so I figured I didn't know at the time what I wanted to major in, so I would just go where I knew some people. So that's kind of how I ended up at OBU. And, you know, I look at, there were several coaches that were very influential in my growing up. I remember a coach, James Deppel. I think he's still alive, lives up in the Oklahoma City area. He really taught solid fundamentals of baseball. Johnny Crabb was another. He was actually a Little League coach about, I guess, the summer after my eighth grade. That was probably the best, most successful that I was at baseball. That was a great summer. We had a good team, and I was had developed, my hitting was pretty good, and got to play several positions. So that was a lot of fun that summer. And of course, my parents, they went to every little game, every little town that we played all around southwestern Oklahoma. One of the coaches that I still stay in touch with is Jerry Havens. He, his first year out of college, taught there in Mangum. Then he went to Clinton, Oklahoma, and let's see, Stillwater and Shawnee. He ended up, I think, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Louisville, I believe. He has since retired. His wife's in Shawnee, grew up in Shawnee, and so they've retired there in Shawnee. So I get to see them a lot of times when I go back to homecoming at OBU. And another teacher that, or coach that was very helpful when I played basketball was Merlin Nippert. And I still see him when I go back home. He was in the banking business after he coached. He actually played professional baseball for a while. And then I think he got injured and then came back and coached for a while and then went into banking and still farms in the area. Had a couple of really, several really good professors at Oklahoma Baptist. That was something that it was good for me because it was a small school. At the time, I think it was between 1,500 and 2,000 enrollment. And so the classes were small, but yet almost over-qualified professors. I mean, I had Rhodes Scholars as professors, and I would talk with some of my friends when I'd go back home, my high school friends, and you know they were going to OU or OSU, and you know they were in classes of 500, and it was being taught by a graduate assistant. Well, I never had a graduate assistant. Our classes were typically 15, 20, maybe 30 people, and great professors. Dr. James Hurley was one of my professors, and the other one was David Boren. My minor was political science. At the time, Boren was a state representative. He went on to be governor of Oklahoma, was senator for several terms from Oklahoma, and now he's a president at the University of Oklahoma. Rhodes Scholar, brilliant guy. One of the best abilities that I've seen of being able to take a complicated subject and explain it to someone on any level in very easy to understand terms. So he has quite a gift in that area. When I finished school, Max Miller was very instrumental in my life. I studied music with him. He was a who's who guy in the 30s and 40s in the jazz world, and very well read. Even though he never finished high school, he had just self-educated, read lots of books, and very intelligent guy, taught me a lot. Then we moved to Waco, and next month it will be 22 years. We moved in January of 1988, and I look at some of the people who have influenced me here in Waco. Of course, Paul J. Meyer. That's actually why we moved to Waco, was to work for his company, SMI. Bud Haney and Jim Cerbascu, they were the two top people there at SMI, and their influence was very strong. John Mills and Joseph Nalia. A lot of people don't realize how many ex-SMI people have, like myself, have stayed in Waco and contributed so much to the community. I'm sure that they're just like any other company. There are some people who have made positive contributions and some negative contributions, but I know of a lot of people who have made great positive contributions. Well, that's how the Dwyer Group got started. Don Dwyer worked for Paul before starting his own firm. When I was with Edward Jones, I had a couple of guys very instrumental in helping me. John Ashby here in Waco and Steve Westfall down in Temple. Steve's a very strong Christian guy and helped me with just, how to practice business with integrity. A number of people that I would encourage you to look up, a lot of them have websites, other people who have helped me through the years. Glenn Reppel, my broker-dealer, great, godly man. GAReppel.com is his website. Nelson Nash, who wrote Becoming Your Own Banker. Infinitebanking.org, I think, is his website. Don Blanton, he's founded a company called Money Tracks. Michael Pink has been a great influence on me, and we're praying for his wife right now. She has, according to the doctors, she has an inoperable tumor behind her right eye, and so we're praying for that to be healed. Alan Ross was very helpful to me. He's was a former president of the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International and has written several books and a great mentor to me. Ray Line, lifestylegiving.com, probably knows more about Christian stewardship than anyone I've ever known. If I say some of these names fast and you'd like to hear more about them, well, just give me a call or send me an email. Patrice Sage, you've heard me mention him, Biblical Entrepreneurship. Many of you probably know Homer Owen. He's been very helpful. He's been a mentor to me for a number of years. And my pastors, Barry Camp at Highland and now Jimmy Seibert at Antioch, they've both been very helpful and influential. I was thinking, of other friends and clients who've given my family and me just, you know, first-class service. If you're looking for a great dentist, I highly recommend Gary Williams at Today's Family Dental. We've been really blessed by Greg May at Greg May Honda, and I may talk with him about his Chevrolet business too, since now he owns the Greg May Chevrolet there in West. Joe Griffin, if you need some photography done, especially this time of year, Joe Griffin Photography. Joe does great work. If you go to my website, look at the pictures, my portrait, that was taken by Joe, so he does a great job. I've been a Verizon guy for years. Ravi Sriram has a great testimony. Ravi, it's R-A-V-I Sriram, S-R-I-R-A-M. He works at the Verizon Wireless store out there at the marketplace. Whatever the name of it is, the new mall out there at Verizon Wireless. And Ravi is always... He just helped me. I bought a new phone from him here recently, the new Motorola Droid, which I really like. Ian McCaw has become a great friend. Ian is the director of athletics at Baylor. Great, solid guy that we've come to love. So that's just my sociology professor used to say that's like getting a drink out of a fire hydrant. So I just went through 58 years of history of people who have influenced me. But again, I hope it encourages you to give thanks and to tell people that you're thankful. If something I've said today causes you to remember someone who's been very helpful to you, well, why not take time to give them a phone call, see them in person, tell them thank you. As usual, we're going to offer a free copy of our book, Today's Word on Money, for the first person that calls or sends me an email. You can call us at 751-0565, or you can email me at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And that's sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And the first person to contact me will get a free copy of my book. The book is entitled Today's Word on Money, and you can visit our website there. It's www.todayswordonmoney.com, and from there you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or read my blog. You can read samples, chapters from the book. You can read endorsements by other people who've read the book. You can actually go there and go to the archive. You can read previous newsletters. And we've got a new tab on our website where it's called Shows, and you can listen to these shows. So if I say something and you'd like to hear it again, or you'd like someone else to be able to listen to it, you can 24/7, you can go to that site and listen to rebroadcasts of these shows. So thanks again for tuning in. Again, this is Steve Sappington. I wish you great Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. May 2010 be your best year yet, not your best year ever, but your best year yet. May the Lord richly bless you in every area of your life. Thanks for tuning in to to Enriching People's Lives, and we hope this show has enriched you. We welcome your feedback. We'd love to hear from you in terms of if you'd like us to cover a topic, or if you'd like us to answer a question about some financial topic or something else, we'd love to do that. So thanks again, and we look forward to talking with you again next Sunday on Enriching People's Lives.